Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we are now officially speaking what language?
English.
Okay.
English.
This is Swedish Football Mafia, and it is the aftermath of the disappearance of Mr. Al Pitcher, who's yes. gone in Australia and New Zealand, but he will be hopefully coming up with some clips, and I even asked him to maybe record a pod from Australia, so we might have a Swedish Football Mafia from two places in this month. And who the fuck are you?
I'm Kunal. I've been here before. You never seem to remember my name, but I'm Kunal.
All right.
That's it.
You're related to Gandhi, right?
Yeah, it might be. At least I say so.
That's a big statement.
Yeah, it's a really big statement. Say that I know Obama personally.
That's awkward. That's just awkward.
But, you know, everyone that is...
Why would you say that?
I just say that.
Have you met him?
No. Yes. No.
Have you?
No.
But do you actually tell people you met him?
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
No, I'm just joking.
That would have been great if you did, though. Walk around saying,
I've did sometimes just to, you know, impress someone, a girl, possibly, like, yeah.
But that's insane.
You know, yeah, no, but it...
Who gets impressed by that, by the way?
No one.
What situation?
They get impressed by the amount of lies I'm willing to...
Oh, that's a good start for the listener. The lies will be coming. No. So this is Kunal Chopra. He's been on the pod before. And you're going to stand in now for Al Pitch as well. And we just had a little pre-discussion that we're going to have. You promise us that we're going to be able to have a guest on every episode now.
we'll try to get guests here, yes.
We'll have it, no worries.
Yeah, we'll have it, yeah.
So your prediction, if you listened to Kunal before, he was very pro-Chelsea and he was... He's like a Chelsea fan. Are you a Chelsea fan?
I'm not a
You're
Chelsea fan.
You're acting like a Chelsea fan?
No, I'm just... okay, to be honest, I'm a
Conte fan.
Yeah, I'm a Conte fan. I'm a fan. It took a while for Conte to convince me that he's like the great...
I saw you hate Conte so much.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, while Conte was in Juventus, managing Juventus, I hated that guy with all my, you know, with my soul. But then he took over Italy, and I started to realize that this guy, because the Italy squad that he had, you know, in the Euros, that was a shit squad.
He didn't have great things to pick from.
Yeah,
and he showed he's a great coach.
And to be honest, they were really great during the Euros. And so I started to what is this guy all about? And then he came to Chelsea, and you know, there was some question mark, and then he, you know, what he basically did was he returned to doing exactly to the same formation that he had with Juventus.
No, he came with a good reputation, and he's an exciting manager. I think the fun thing with Conte at the moment is that it's another style of play.
Yes.
Within this new style of play.
It is.
Also this high pressing, but it's a different one. So it's a new involvement in football.
For me, you know, for me, the big thing is, you know, he has... brought in Marcos Alonso, right?
Yeah.
You know, pretty good football player.
Very strange for a lot of Premier League followers.
Yes, and he wasn't a star, not even
close.
No,
he's already been in Premier League before.
Yeah, I know.
Without
any
success, so.
And he wasn't, like, real success in Serie A as well, but he was a functional player, you know? He did his part. And also seeing, you know, the likes of Pedro and Victor Moses.
Especially Victor Moses. I think that kind of shows what kind of manager he is.
Yeah.
That he's not one of those that will come... He will come in and whatever he sees fit, he's a puzzler. He will build that puzzle.
Exactly.
He's a tactician. He's tinkering in the right way. I think Pep Guardiola has over-tinkered completely.
Yeah.
He's over-tinkered completely. I mean, he's changed so much now that we don't know how could... The first 8 games, they were amazing.
Yeah.
And then he's tinkered himself out of it, it feels like.
And to be honest, okay, if we talk
about City and Chelsea, let's just straight jump into that game.
If we look to that game, you know, City was up 1-0 and it was, you know, they deserved it.
Yeah. And
De Bruyne's miss, it was, you know, we could have had a total different outcome if that was to go in, right?
I think that could all of us... Football is strange, but that moment when he hit the post, where
the
open
bar,
goal, he was the bar open. I mean, clear open. He should score. Maybe a little difficult, but still, he should score. And then just minutes later, it's 2-1.
Yeah,
the whole season flipped there, and then 2 red cards. Fernandinho, Aguero, they're gone. The 2 best players probably in City at the moment.
Yeah,
both gone for at least 3 games each. I mean, the season literally flipped over De Bruyne's miss. I mean, it's just from De Bruyne being the star player of the league to Hazard being that instead of scoring the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just so many metaphoric things going on that game.
Exactly.
That you could always feel like, it was like a movie almost, or if you're religious and you're a Chelsea fan, you'll go like, God listened to us today.
Exactly. And, you know, sitting here, of course you could be, you know, really cocky about saying, like, maybe almost 2 months ago that, like, Chelsea will surely be on top of the league. But, you know, looking back to this game, that moment...
A pivotal.
Yeah, it's a...
It could be season-changing. It's
absolutely crucial.
In so many ways. Not only the points.
And if that was to go in and City maybe would, you know, win it with like 2 or 3 up.
If they would have won 2-0, no red cards.
We would sit here with a different story. We would say, okay, now City's, you know, they're looking strong. They're the favorites, right?
And now you're talking about that Tottenham should, if there's one team that should catch in top 4, that's City all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how quickly it turns.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I always say like, oh, Chelsea favourites for now, but it's such a long season. I mean, many things. Costa can get injured, miss the rest of the season, and then you think, okay, they have other players, and then Hazard gets injured the rest of the season, and then you have a big fucking problem, even that they do. So it's just a long season. We can agree with that. It's a good game, but it should have been a red card
on Luis. Yeah,
I mean, for sure.
I'm totally...
And that could have changed the entire game as well.
It would have. It probably would have changed the entire game as well. And for me, that's, you know... If he doesn't do that, he's all alone with the goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
So for me, that's, and he's not okay. I think the referee is thinking, if I'm avoiding a free kick here, I need to send him off.
And
that's why he's.
But
hesitant.
If he chickened out, then he could have given.
But he has
yellow.
Like and he has like a couple of milliseconds to take that decision.
Yeah, but it took quite a while. I mean, and the funny thing is with that decision is that everybody in this...
Yeah.
Did you see from the camera behind Courtois?
Yeah.
When he gets the
ball? Yeah, he was like...
He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
And then he's like, all right, we're playing on.
Yeah.
He didn't say like, no, wrong decision.
No, no, no.
He was like, fuck.
I think everyone would have been like...
Everybody thought that happened. So
I
think... it's a huge call. It's just a huge call. Maybe change the whole season, but... It also showed one thing, I would say, that Chelsea, even if they were lucky, still showed great resilience 2 games in a row. Coming from behind, scoring 2 goals in a row like that, it always looked like their game plan was the same. They never lost the game plan, even though City were on top of them.
Yeah.
They kept on going in their belief that they will score on a counter sooner or later,
totally agree.
They did. So I'm really impressed with the mentality put into the players. And
you
can see that when Klopp does it with the players, Conte, he does it, it seems so real. It seems so bloody real that he's so into it. When Klopp does it, I've always said before, I love Klopp. I think he's a great for, if you're a supporter of the team he's managing, you're really happy about him.
Yeah.
But I think he's clever, Klopp. He does some things for the cameras. I said that day, well, you know, up with the fist and stuff. But Conte looks like he fucking loses every time. He needs to do this. And it seems the players have really taken to him. I have to say, so they look dangerous.
The scary part with Chelsea, just to add one thing, is that, you know, every team, even if you're a top team, you have a down period as well. And, you know, I think Chelsea already had theirs.
Yeah, but that was a start.
But you just look at the last 8 games.
Yeah,
8
absolutely.
Wins, but I think 22-2 in goal difference. I think it's scary. Man.
It's scary, but I think the beginning, the games that didn't click was because it was new.
Yeah.
It was all new, it's different formation. So I don't think that was a dip of form, that was just transition. But we'll see. Maybe they don't have a dip in form. I mean, the Mourinho side, when he took over the 2 first years, they never had dip in form. That Chelsea side, for 2 years they won the league.
And you know, from my perspective, seeing what Conte's teams previously have done, you know, in like Juventus, of course, this is a much more competitive league than the Serie A. But still, you know, I'm seeing a clear Juventus kind of profile to this Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, you have people...
But I think in Juventus the difference was as well... The way he plays with that formation, Juventus could dominate the teams as well because they were a good team.
Yeah.
And compared to the opposition. I do believe that slowly, we see the 2 games, both Tottenham and City.
Yeah.
I think that they did use their weakness pretty good.
Yeah.
They were good at coming in between that space of Moses and Alonso or the other side, Pedro, and whoever was on the flanks for the moment. They did use that pretty well, and you can see that there will be teams who will be good enough to do that. So I don't think they can dominate this way forever.
No. Maybe not.
Both these games, they could have end up losing, but I think the strength they showed was not only how good it's working play-wise, how good the mentality is.
Yeah.
And that's the problem for the teams, that they out-mentalized City, because City just, you know, that's a collapse for me.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you're controlling the game, one goal on the other flag, and you just lose it. And then you 2 red cards. What the fuck is going on there? Fabregas was a bit.
Yeah.
He should get 1 match suspension as well. He did slap him.
Yeah, he did.
He did slap him. He should get 1 match for that. And Fernando, what the fuck he's doing, I don't know. He lost
it
completely.
But because looking at that situation again, it felt like, you know, it was over, and you can't see it on the camera really, but something made Fernando, like, just...
And he snapped.
Right?
He snapped it.
So maybe Fabregas said something?
I mean, even if it doesn't really matter, he still snapped.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they had a tussle, and then Fabregas, cheeky.
Yeah.
And I think when he did that, when he just slapped it, I think Fernando just showed, do you know, he just went street.
I'm from Brazil.
I think he just went street. What do you want to mess with me?
Yeah.
And just go, you want to, and then he just, like, you know, if we take this, I will beat you.
Yeah.
And I think he showed that
you
over and
over. Fucking Spanish
and,
pussy.
And too much.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You fucking Spanish twat.
No, I don't think so. I think he just said, you want a piece of me.
Yeah, okay,
you know,
cool.
You want a piece of me?
It would be funnier if he said, you Spanish pussy.
I think he did a taxi driver.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I think he did a taxi driver.
Very, you're looking at me, you're talking to me.
But he just grabbed it, throw like 3 times, and then Fabregas fell over. Ah, fucking
yeah.
But still, okay, that was the whole show is that game. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then Palace beat the shit out of Southampton, was a bit lucky. And Pardew, we said it,
he's
gonna turn it now with 6 wins in a row.
That's kind of crazy.
It's
isn't
always
it?
The Pardew way.
Yeah, Pardew way.
That's why he doesn't get sacked. He's on the verge of getting sacked.
Yeah.
And then he will string together 2-3 good results now.
Yeah.
And then you'll think they're back on. And then he'll have 4 or 5 bad results again.
Yeah.
And then this is the way, this is the life cycle of he's like a butterfly.
But you know
he's even beautiful
though,
now.
Yeah,
he's
but
flying.
Even though it was lucky, you have to say that's a kind of a big surprise. Okay, it's really strong to pull off that victory, although, you know, maybe it was against the grain, but, you know, it's still, you know, from the horrible loss they suffered.
Yeah, of course. I
at
mean,
Swansea, this is basically...
But they must say they had 6 games in a row. They lost 6 games in a row.
I know.
And, I mean, that's not good enough. But then Fraser Forster, who, by the way, Soren Ismail and Al Pitcher had a discussion with me in France.
Yeah.
That was way better than Hugo Lloris. just so you know, that they claimed that, I don't know, were you in this discussion as well? You also thought Lloris was a world-class keeper.
No, you were okay.
I think you're lying, but that's okay. but he was number 5 or 6 in the Premier League, which is Baffling. Okay, okay. Forster did a great show there. In front of Southgate, in the stands.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for the guy. But they've won their Stoke City, Burnley's on every week.
Yeah.
Kept on the good form.
Yeah.
Stoke, Burnley, only one goal, 1 point away from home.
Yeah.
That is utter disaster.
It
and
is.
Even if they play good at home, they have to pick up points away from home. Otherwise, it won't go. But then, Leicester. Are they facing a relegation battle for real?
I don't know. I think they will.
I mean,
as
how
soon
much?
As, because I see them almost whoever they will face.
I mean, they're 2 points but above the drop.
Yeah, but listen.
Two, and Sunderland just won against them. Sunderland all of a sudden looking like, you know what? Moyes have maybe Moyes this team into a team that will be mid-table or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you thought when Moyes came in. The start was atrocious. You thought he lost it. And we even said one game left. And he changed the last game.
Yeah.
He won that just the part he did now. And now he's just winning. And Defoe is one of the best goal scorers in England at the moment.
That's,
it's just Defoe, Harry Kane, Aguero who scored.
I've always loved Defoe. So I admire
that guy. He's a legend for me.
Yeah,
you know?
I admire that guy as well. Because he's still one of the... You know, we had this discussion before. For me, that's a striker.
But you know funny thing
remember,
with Defoe is?
Yeah.
He's in a way, he's better now. Do you know why? This is so weird. I mean, my problem with Defoe when he played for Tottenham was this. He was very good against weak teams because he had the space and stuff. Problem was he was always offside. His movement was so selfish. It was only him into the box like a Pippo Inzaghi, but not as good.
No,
not as good at movement, but great at finishing.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable at shooting.
Yeah.
Left foot, right foot, doesn't matter. One of the quickest shots there is.
Yeah.
You can't. So he's an absolute fantastic shot of the ball.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest in the league for years.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Last 10, 12 years, I can't imagine anybody who has such a quick, you know, swing of the foot from both foot.
Yeah.
So it's. But the problem is always offside. Now he can't run as much as Moyes. He's not offside anymore. He just shoots and scores. He's just doing exactly what you want him to do at Sunderland. He's just a poacher now.
Yeah.
He's waiting, but he's still quick.
Yeah.
But he doesn't run 95%. He must have 100%. I'm willing to bet anything.
Yeah.
The past 15 years, the player has run most offside is Jermaine Defoe. I can bet anything.
Adebayor.
He doesn't play as much.
Adebayor.
You have to understand Defoe is playing every game.
But do you realize that this is a hard contest, though?
Yeah, but Adebayor
hasn't But does he know the offside rule? He's
offside quite often.
It's
with Adebayor, I was annoyed when he played with Spurs. He was like, in one game, he was offside three kicks in a row.
What the fuck?
Three free kicks in a row. I was like, how the fuck can he be offside on every free kick?
Yeah, but I don't get it.
All right.
Okay,
Leicester lost.
So I'm thinking Leicester will surely go out from the Champions League, you know, in the playoffs, I think, pretty soon.
Does it matter now?
Yeah, but I think...
There was no Champions League last week.
I think they will get it drawn into it, but I think surely they will finish like 12th, 13th, 14th place.
Yeah,
because it's really tight down there as well. And we got West Ham. Let's talk about West Ham. What's happening?
Your other favorite team.
Yeah, I kind of like
What the West hell Ham. Is this? Chelsea, West Ham, and then you said that you're a closet Spurs fan back then. You can't love all London teams.
I love London, lad. So it's not that. I just think that...
He's gone, Bilic?
Soon, yeah. I think so.
One game?
Depends on which team are they playing next game.
Well, they have a very tricky fixture list coming up because they have games. We can pick that up. You talk about West Ham, the game.
You know? Yeah, no, so it's basically, you know, it really doesn't... There's nothing... Nothing is working, really. They leaned so much on Payet last year. And
he hasn't showed up.
No, he hasn't.
Now they have Liverpool away.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't expect them to pick any point, even though Liverpool.
But I think he would get. You see, they have Liverpool away, and of course that.
But then look at that: Burnley at home, Hull at home, Swansea away, Leicester away.
Yeah, I think they will give it Burnley, and I think they will give him, you know, December out to try.
Yeah, I think Liverpool. They can't sack him for losing that game.
No.
Well, if they lose 7-0, they'll sack him.
But they need to win both Burnley and Hull.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's, you know, must win.
Must
games.
Win.
And if he does that, then I think he'll.
If he doesn't pick up 6 points, he might be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is strange.
At least four though. But
which is strange because last season.
Yeah.
you know, you were thinking this guy
might take them a step further than, you know, they should. I, you know, that's football as well. You know, it's the same thing with Leicester, isn't it?
But it's a little downfall for West Ham because I think everybody hyped them way too much, both last season, the new stadium, and we discussed that early in this in the pod that they're dreaming like, I remember Spurs fan, we used to dream at the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, we feel that we are better than we are.
Yeah.
You know? And we feel that we have some players that are good. But that's the problem. We always had two, three very good players.
Yeah.
And it felt like we got star players. And they have like Payet and one more. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
It's not, the squad is not near, you know, the top five.
No,
it's not even there. It's not even there ever.
It's a mid-table.
I would say after, you know, the top six, which is, you know, these teams we know, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham, City, United, blah. And then Everton would be seventh for me.
Yeah. And Southampton.
Southampton, eighth, And then maybe West Ham.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And mid-table team. Yeah. Team, basically.
So I think that...
Up there with Stoke. And,
they put up too much expectation on themselves, I think, as well. I think they're baffled that they're not higher. But maybe it's difficult. Premier League is bloody difficult.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Everybody's spending money. Everybody has money.
Yeah. So how about them Spurs, though? Are you satisfied?
Of course.
It looked really good.
I mean, everybody's... Dele Alli, dive. Yes, that was a dive.
Yeah.
That was a dive. It's a blatant dive. No doubt about it. But I do believe that we still would have won the game.
Yeah.
I mean, 28-0 in shots. I think they had one shot that wasn't really a shot.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I mean, we slaughtered them.
Yeah.
And Swansea, change of manager, have been a disastrous move.
Yeah.
I mean, for me... Even Gwiddly maybe didn't make it, but Bradley, I don't think he knows what the fuck he's doing.
No.
I mean, he doesn't know what the
fuck he's doing.
He's
not proven, like...
No, he's not proven at all.
No.
You have to understand that he hasn't managed top flight in Europe.
No.
So he was in second division in France.
Yeah.
So he hasn't... I mean, in the big leagues, he's managed in top division what it was in Norway and stuff like that. But not in the top division, in the top leagues. He hasn't done that. So... And he's been in American national team years ago. You know, of course, it's a different... It's a big risk to take in Premier League when you try to survive in that team. You should go from manager who's been there before or something. The usually easiest way. Like a Allardyce, like a more... You know, something. Yeah. That's usually a good bet. But they didn't, and I think they're going to sack him.
That's...
I mean, the Palace game was Will, but the four goals they conceded was atrocious. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And these five games, there was a couple of good goals there, but we slaughtered them. They were shit. Didn't close down. Fell deep
Son,
too much.
How do you feel about him? I think he was amazing. I really like that player.
Son is very good. He's a good player in the correct game. In a good game, we lack that kind of thing. He's very direct.
He's
very,
very
quick.
Direct.
And he's very quick sometimes. He's got a great acceleration, especially. Maybe not pace, but he's very acceleration quick. Yeah. He's got a good shot with both feet.
Yeah, and he's tricky. I like it.
He's
like,
tricky, and
he finds gaps, you know, where they shouldn't be. And
he's a good player. And now he's showing that he's good on the wing because he's chipping in with goals. He's chipped in with quite a few goals.
Yeah, he has.
And he has chipped in with the goals, actually not from striker position, but when he plays on the wings.
Yeah.
So he's very important. I think the first team is what we played there, bar it's Alderweireld instead of Dyer.
Yeah.
That's the first team.
Yeah.
That's just it. It should always be Rose Walker on the flanks. But then, of course, midfield, Dembele should play. And Ali Eriksen and Son.
Yeah.
But when Lamela is back, we'll see.
Yeah.
Because Lamela is... People think it's frustrating, but you just have to see the kind of stats when he plays and not play.
Yeah.
We create much more with Lamela.
Yeah.
He takes risks, of course, but we need that because we're so... So
in some games you need that.
We're so organized that our problem is not that, we're conceding six goals in the game because they're very, very tight spaced.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need sometimes a Lamela to unlock because he's the best of unlocking it through dribbling.
Yeah.
Not quickness, but through, you know, weird ass passing and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So we need him. It's very different players. Ali, Eriksen, Lamela and Son. That's good. That's a good sign for us. It's four different attacking midfielders. Yeah.
I agree.
So it's good balance. But good game. West Brom is doing really well now.
Yeah.
It's the best Premier League start they've ever had in the history. So I think that...
Good for them.
Watford, you know, I think they'll be fine anyways.
Yeah, they look decent. Still, you know, they're also, you know, sometimes they have, like, unexplainable, like, poor form, like they're in right now. And it comes from out of nowhere because it's... it's essentially one of those teams, you know, it's you have Watford in Premier League, you have Udinese, and you have Granada. So these players just exchange with each other, and it's, you know, it's a mess of a lot of players that almost are good players.
It's quite weird though that kind of they own those teams that because they are still going on.
It's a mafia thing, you know that, right? Because it's an Italian mobster.
Did Watford pick any players from Udinese this season?
Yes.
Who
like unknown players.
Okay. Right.
And they it's terrible.
And they're just holding Italian managers. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Since he came in, he only had Italian managers.
And I hate their kind of, you know, I hate their shirt. But their stadium, everything. Okay, it's always dim in their fucking stadium. What's that all about? It's kind of shady.
But from like a story point of view, isn't it fun sometimes in like in Premier League now?
Yeah.
You have like Chelsea Abramovich got a little bit. He tried a bit Russian influence to begin. Didn't really work. Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones.
Now Swansea has American owners, American manager installed. Yeah. But Watford has. It's like the Italian team, right? It's the Italian team of Premier League.
Yeah.
Is Watford. The American is now Swansea, but Liverpool has American owners. But it's funny when team gets like, you know, this is our team now.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to have these two men. It's Indian. Like, they could have even like Bangra and the games.
Blackburn are.
Yeah, you know, but they haven't really put the stamp on it.
No, but there's no players.
Blackburn, did you call it?
It's like Michael Chopra, he's playing in India right now.
Okay, no, it's just the two of us now. It can't be racist when we say it, but what the hell is wrong with it? Why isn't there any Indian Pakistani players?
I think it's a cultural thing, to be honest. I know we're physically worse than many.
You can't say that, man. You can't.
But we are physically.
But then you agree Hitler was correct.
No, but he... What?
That there are differences in physicality between...
No, but I think that's a cultural thing. I don't think it's a genetic thing. I think it's...
Culture? What, we don't eat meat? Or what
we
the
eat too much shit, man. Well, you know that. You know how our breakfast
But not
is
if you brought up in England.
Yeah,
why
you
is there
do.
No Indian players in England?
Because they get, like, a tupper.
Everybody!
They need to go to school, man. It's, you know this.
Yeah, but they play cricket.
Yeah, but that's like education, man.
No, I don't buy it. Something is fucking wrong. Something is. I mean, nobody's talking about it more than it should be talked about every day. It's odd. The biggest immigration group in England is Indian or Pakistani.
Yeah.
And those third, second, fourth generation is in any team in the top flight or the second or the academy. What the fuck is going on? Where are they? Where the fuck are these?
Michael Chopra used to be. Come on.
Michael Chopra's won. Michael Chopra, your cousin, right?
Yeah,
Chopra.
It is. Yeah, it is. And he basically won. No, he's not my cousin. But he won the.
Another lie.
No, but
who are you impressing now? What girl would be impressed by Michael fucking Chopra?
I'm just saying that he used to be a good player. He used
championship
to be.
Championship level.
Yeah, and he won the league. He won the top scoring league.
That's what
I'm saying.
Championship.
And his
English mother, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But
why are you guessing that? You fucking racist.
No, because I know that he's only one parent was Indian.
And why was... And how...
Because Chopra is his surname.
How do you know... Okay, maybe.
What are you thinking about?
Maybe.
Oh, you're thinking that...
Maybe.
Oh, no. Nah,
his father left him. His white father left him. And Mother Chopra took care of him. Okay, no.
Okay, that's possible. But
it's not true.
Right?
That's not the way of the world.
So, listen. Honestly, come on. Not once... I mean... I can understand that that India or Pakistan or Bangladesh national team is not so good because it's money.
You're
culture,
asking me
culture.
Because you need answers for
I
me.
I need answers. I need your thought here as well. What the hell is going on? Why is there no Indian players? When I ask my friends in England, who's brought up in England, and live there all the time, all the Pakistan Indians, they say, oh, it's racism, man. It's racism, man. Yeah. I was like, it can't be bloody racism.
No.
Every club and there's people from every culture.
No.
It's something else. What the hell is going on?
Why would it be racism against brown people and not black people?
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't make any sense.
Even if it was, there's still Turkish play coming through, Spanish. You know, Nabil Bentaleb, Algerian.
They just hate
through
the fucking coolies.
What is going on?
I think it's a mixture of cultural thing. If you can just
all
listen
my
me
mates
out, hear me
watch
out,
football.
Hear me out. They watch football. That's acceptable. How many
shout
Indian
out to Chetan, he used to play in conference. Chet. Yeah, he used to play in conference.
Chetan.
Okay, but Chetan is actually his name.
Okay,
Chetan.
So what I'm trying to say is, how many people like of Indian or Indian or Pakistani heritage do you know playing cricket in England? Not a lot, right? Not professional cricket. Not a lot.
The captain of England was Indian.
He was Pakistani.
Yeah,
was
same Indian.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That continent.
One player, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I think if we first go to Indian Pakistan, if you play one sport that is socially acceptable, that's cricket. You and me know.
Yeah, but
this.
I know tons of people in England played football.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But have
football.
You been to India and Pakistan and seen people play football?
Yeah, of course.
I played football with people there.
Yeah.
They suck.
Yeah, but why is that?
That because
are you saying it's genetic?
No. Come on, listen. The interest has just began.
Listen, I understand what you're saying,
okay,
but you're not listening.
Okay.
There are millions. We're not talking that there's like thousands here
and
there.
What's your theory then?
My theory is this fucked up. If something is wrong.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm saying it's cultural and I'm saying that
I had a routine about my theory before. Do you know why my theory was Indian wasn't good at football before?
Yeah.
Because
they're playing
joke
with chappals.
No, it's a joke because wherever somebody scores and stuff, they pray to God like the Latinos.
They pray to so many gods.
There are so many gods that they don't have time, so they lose every game. See, and before, you know, in the 70s, they were bad because the ball was made out of leather. So, you know, it was a holy ball, so you couldn't touch the ball. So that was the reason before, but now
that could be. No, okay, but to be honest, I don't know.
I think,
to be honest, at least for Indian league and Indian football, things are going.
Yeah, but that's in India.
In the right direction.
I understand that they're not good in India, and now it's getting better. In India.
There's one Indian player playing for the national Norwegian team.
Forget about that. I'm talking about why are there not young players coming through in the academies of any fucking league level in England who has heritage from the Indian continent.
It's absolutely stupid.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, in Sweden we have Zlatan is from Yugoslavia, Erkan is from there. It's common. Germany, it's so common.
Yeah.
In England, you have certain players coming through, but it's usually from Jamaica, maybe, or here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Second generation, they're English. I mean, Jermaine Defoe, Sturridge, they got Jamaican heritage, but they're English.
Yeah.
They should come like another Harpal Singh, we should be able in Bury as well.
And Elites.
Elites. So it's the Singh and the Chopra.
Yeah.
There's been two, and they've never. Chopra actually did make a few Premier League appearances.
Yeah.
It was shit, though.
Yeah, in Sunderland and
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Newcastle. So, all right, let's leave. I'm just getting upset with that. But
I just want to mention one guy.
Yeah.
Vikash Doraso.
Doraso, but
he won the World Cup,
but he's he's not Indian. He was like.
Yeah, but I'm claiming everyone with Indian heritage who. And also, you know.
Now, you're claiming him for the name.
No.
He wasn't really. I checked
but
him out.
Heritage. Actually, there's a website.
No.
Called like Indian Football Player .de.
And like 7 players on the list.
No, it's like, it's like 20, but I'm not kidding. It's
that's
like,
what I'm saying, 20! 20! It's the biggest
in
ethnic
Europe,
group
in
the world!
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's 2 billion Indians on the world.
But how many Chinese players are they? Come on. We need to involve China into this.
Listen, listen. I agree with you there as well. But there you can state things as cultural in those countries. And the Chinese population in England, the second generation is Chinese, is not at, not even a 50th of of the Indian or Pakistani Bengali population.
It's so fucked up.
That's what I,
it's fucked up.
I mean, yes, but that this is fucked
up. I think
up.
It's the chappals. I think they don't. They try to play with chappals, and it's
and
not
they be, okay.
It's not
they,
working.
Not, apparently not. But okay, but let's just, we've been talking a lot of us, without Al. We noticed that we do. There's a lot of football talk.
Let's
now,
go
right?
on to Liverpool.
Yes, what the hell happened there?
To be honest, I...
You watched the Napoli-Lazio game.
No, Roma-Lazio.
Roma, sorry, yeah. You watched the Roma-Lazio game. So good, because I watched this game.
So you can go through it.
Well, Liverpool...
Because I saw three... I saw, because I changed during the interval, and I saw that they were 3-1 up, and I'm like, okay, fuck this.
No, they dominated them for... more or less 70 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was they were better. They were the better team for long periods of time. But then I think Bournemouth put in that guy Fraser, and he really came in and changed the game. I think Liverpool was just a bit shocked over. I don't know what the hell they were shocked about, to be honest. But Karius, for me, made 2 huge mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was too big. I mean, it wasn't like the blunder of the year.
Yeah.
But that's the thing when we talked about good goalkeepers. There are certain goalkeepers who just. Who are stable, they take the normal shots, no special shots, okay? So they're just, they don't do blunders. But then you think, would you rather have a keeper who makes 3 stupid mistakes a season, but then makes 6 saves and nobody else would make?
Yeah.
You would rather have that. Yeah. Unfortunately, that is the thing, because he's on plus now.
Yeah.
Karius, for me, he hasn't played enough games and had under pressure that he showed that he can make be this amazing goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Even Aurelio Gomez of Watford, he makes mistakes, but sometimes he can make saves to you like, how the fuck did he do that?
Yeah.
That's why I rate Lloris. I think he doesn't make any big mistakes, and then he makes some saves that are unbelievable. Yeah. Nobody will take that fuck. Only top 4 goalkeepers in the world will take it. Karius made 2 mistakes. I think that led, of course, Bournemouth into goal. One of the goals, he should just... It's on the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Last goal, I mean, it's not a huge blunder, but he gives the rebound straight up to him. Yeah. And Bournemouth just have one of those great, great victories that you not expect. I think Liverpool said, Klopp said after the game that congratulations, Bournemouth is a great story. Unfortunately, we were the receiving end to it.
Yeah,
it's a bit easy way of going. I still believe that Liverpool defensively,
they should have, like,
defensively it's still there.
If you're a top contender and you're looking to grab, you know, and
you
possibly go for the
goal,
you can't be 3-1 up in the 70th and just
they were 2-0 up in the 70th and then they scored Bournemouth and then scored straight away 3-1.
Still, they're 2
over.
Goals up in the 80s, right?
Hell yeah.
And they should have closed that. If you're letting Bournemouth into that game. Whoever your opposition is, even if it was Chelsea, you shouldn't concede 3 goals in the last 10 minutes. So, for me, I think, clearly, I'm not writing Liverpool off just because of this, because you know I've been into this a lot before as well. I don't see them as a contender for the championship. I don't. I basically don't.
Difficult. But after this weekend, of course, Chelsea's favorite, but I still believe that they can...
I think City
still in the top.
City might challenge Chelsea, and that's it.
Oof, I think for City, this coming weeks are going to be terrible for them.
Yeah,
good for the league though. But then United drew again.
Yeah, a bit unfortunate.
Stupid.
But really stupid. Fellaini, I hate that guy. Is he a football player? I don't really get it. I don't get what people see in him. Yeah, he's tall.
No,
yeah.
I think he's good. In a mid-table team, playing a certain tactic.
No, he did. He was good in Everton.
The way they played. I mean, if he went to Sunderland now, he would be great.
Yeah, but that's not a mid-table team, is it?
I mean, if
he should go to Sunderland or he should go to West Ham, that's his level. For me, it's really clear. And I'm not just saying this based on that stupid, ignorant decision that he made. It's not that. It's like, I never see this guy perform well. He's not a United player.
But what is his position? Still, for me, is what is his position?
I don't know.
That's for me.
He just Mourinho thought, okay, we are one.
I tell you his position. He only has one position for me.
Yeah.
For me, the one position he can command in a team, if a team plays very direct, long ball, like Sunderland did, like Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips back then.
Like Stoke did 5 years ago.
He can take, in Stoke 5 years ago, he would have been great as a number 10.
Yeah.
You know, like Sweden used Mjällby back in years ago, you know, with like a number 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of formation, as he did him in Everton.
Yeah.
He played him advanced behind the striker, kind of.
Yeah.
And he was there buffling and just winning headers.
Yeah.
That was his game. And then he was, for that kind of a player, he was good on the ball.
I agree.
For that kind of a player. So that's, for me, he can only play in a team who plays, you know, direct with him as number 10. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And all the other positions, then he has to play in a weaker team.
I think that the way United perform in the second half, it was always coming. Okay, of course.
But they're looking better, though.
Yeah, they're looking better, but their second half was still really, really poor. The first half was quite good. I was quite, you know, surprised. Although I need, and you know, I like Zlatan a lot, but, you know, that was a Stekelenburg mistake as well, going out there. And, you know, why was he out there? He was in a middle distance and, you know, it was an open goal for Zlatan.
Still a very Zlatan-y finish.
Yeah, it is. It was a good finish. I'm not saying that. But still, just giving him that opportunity for no reason at all. He's covered. He has... what the fuck is Stekelenburg thinking? I don't see it.
It's and, just a goalkeeping mistake.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, so what I'm saying is United, of course, to concede it that way in that late fashion, you know, still Everton... It was always coming. It was always coming. They had this, they dominated the second half.
Yeah,
of course, Ander Herrera had one opportunity, and it could have been close. But that was a really that was basically what he could do up front.
Yeah,
it was
a difficult situation. But still, they did concede again, and they did draw again. And you can feel maybe what I can say is that this season, I don't think at all. I don't think Championship can forget it for me. Top four, I think they will be struggling for that as well because it's too many teams that are good enough to be ahead of them. But you do feel at least now that it is settling in a little bit and maybe next year they can compete better. Maybe he hasn't lost it.
Yeah.
But I think he can never be as dominant with his teams as he was before. And I think the biggest reason for that is that there's just so much money in the top teams that it's hard just to disciplinize our teams today.
Yeah.
When they play the way the high press system does. It's difficult to just tie, win leagues.
I don't see... I've been saying this a lot about Mourinho's teams the last couple of years, since he left Inter. I don't see any real... I don't see the plan. I don't see it. I want someone to tell me this is the plan.
I don't
see a plan.
I do see that. He still tries to do a little bit. In Chelsea, I remember years ago, I really liked the way he started the Chelsea kind of thing because what he did there, he was very congested and tight, the midfield, all the time, and the striker. And then he used to rotate the five players up front in a clockwise fashion, literally. He took one step right, he fell down. And then he used to do that rotational system, which was very annoying for teams. He tried to do it a little bit United, wasn't really working. Yeah. Now, his idea is just so plain. It's just so plain. He has the formation. They play in that formation. They start in those positions of players, but it's very plain. He goes in there. It's only Mata can take the runs.
Yeah.
It's only Pogba can take the runs from there.
Yeah.
Herrera will only fill in if the ball is already in the box.
Yeah.
It's very strict still. And that's his plan. And it's just not working the same way because I believe that the teams now are not how they were 12 years ago. And I think that's it. City, Tottenham, Chelsea now, and Liverpool, all four of them who are above United, all four of them play high-pressed tempo game in a different way.
Yeah.
Their plan is to break teams like Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's their exactly. the play to play. Exactly. So I think his
so
style
what
of
is
play,
their counter kind of, you know?
He needs plan. To find that out.
Yeah, okay.
Either he does that better than they press. That's yeah. how he can do it. So
that's
he
true.
Needs to find out a way to, like a Chelsea, for instance.
If they're not playing the football of today, and I think I don't want. I've you know I've always liked Mourinho, and not for his personality, more for his kind of tactical sense.
Yeah, I like that.
But
I think
that
outdated
is,
now.
Yeah, he needs to update himself, or something needs to happen. But to be honest, you know, the United games that we've seen, they're playing better than before. Not this game, because I'm not taking this game into consideration, as the second half was really poor, to be honest. I saw the whole game and I was really unimpressed. But I think what has happened, I don't know if you agree with me, that Rooney has come to life a little bit. He has really. I know you're not going to agree on this, or
what has come to life? I mean, he's playing better than he did
two months ago.
Still not good enough.
I think if Rooney and Mata is there, and Zlatan, I think we'll see a lot of more goals.
I think if you listen,
I think Zlatan and Rooney is finding each other.
I would say this
a lot.
When you have Rooney, Mata, and Zlatan up front,
yeah,
that for me is that sounds like a video game. I mean,
yeah.
That's not working. Those three, and then Martial in it. Rashford, whoever. It's not dynamic enough for me. Zlatan. It depends how they will play. He will not give you any work rate kind of effort.
No.
Rooney has lost a bit, both creativity, technique and shooting. I mean, he can give you a bit working. I don't think he's as good as before. So he's like an all-rounder at a striker wing now. He's an all-round player now. He's not a specific striker, he's not a specific winger. And then Mata, you will lack physicality, you will lack speed. That's a slow front three. It's a very slow front. None of them are quick anymore. Rooney's not quick, Mata's never been really quick, Slater's not quick. Even if you put Rashford and Martial there, I don't see that balance. And then you compare that front four
to City or Chelsea,
and just as City, it's De Bruyne, it's Aguero. I mean, and then Yaya Toure as number five, number six. I mean,
come on,
it's a
true.
Big different dynamic, and they can't change the play too much. If they have, I would say they need to get going. Mkhitaryan. That was just started now. That would make a difference. He's different from them.
Yeah, he is.
Him and Martial are similar but different from all of them. And Rashford. He needs to have at least two of Martial, Rashford, and Mkhitaryan working. Then you can tinkle with one Zlatan and one Mata or one Rooney.
Yeah.
You can't have the three of them. It's static. It's boring. It's uncreative. It's too slow for Zlatan to make flicks to quick players. It's too slow for Mata to put in balls to any player.
But what I'm arguing...
It's slow.
What I'm arguing is you could... Yeah, I agree. But
and sometimes they break into life.
Yeah. But I think it's creative. I think...
But it's only creative.
Yeah,
we need something else.
Yeah,
we need penetration.
Yeah, but that's why... Yeah, but that's why you need... You know... Okay. Forget about this. I think...
They're just static.
Yeah, they're static. They are. Let's go to El Clasico, maybe.
Yes, we'll cover that because we've had a long fucking pod already. No, it's not that bad. It's just 45 minutes. And Al will be like, what are you taking over?
Yeah, let's
Indian Mafia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go over to El Clasico a little bit. And just...
How do you see the game?
Yeah, I saw it.
Despite you hating the Clasico, you think those games are shit?
I almost see it every time.
Yeah.
Because I agree it's a tickling game on paper. It really looks and feels great. But in the preview stage, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the shitty fucking mess. And for me, you know what I love about football? I love, the tactical part. I love the tension that you can feel. And I get that in Premier League and I get that in Serie A. I never get that.
I agree with you.
In La Liga. I never get it.
But I think that's preference.
But listen... Barcelona needed to win this game, right? Really bad. And they didn't. I'm not going to discuss the game because...
But City needed to win.
But listen, this is a two-man show. Atletico was up there for a couple of seasons. Now it seems like they're not.
But they'll still be up there.
I think it was a really boring game. It was...
That happens.
If it doesn't give me the tactical kind of, you know, enjoyment and that...
But wait, before we do...
Yeah.
We talked about this before, saying that...
They have no fucking game plans. Both teams have like, no fucking game plans.
Why didn't you watch Roma-Lazio? And I said, yes, that's a good derby game. I've seen Roma-Lazio games before, but at that time, Bournemouth-Liverpool playing, and preferably for me, I would... Like, tonight, it's Middlesbrough-Hull.
Yeah.
Right? People go, what the fuck is this on a Monday night? But I still rather watch that game than an Italian league. I have watched the other leagues usually when there's no Premier League game on. For me personally,
I totally get. I totally get
Middlesbrough Hull. You know what? Maybe tactically some of them end up, but you will see the things I like when Tottenham are
exactly.
Playing. I want to see a fun game as well.
I
want to see.
I totally agree. I don't agree with your preference, but what you know what I respect that because it's the same for me. Right?
The Clásico is good because it's supposed to be at least...
It's supposed... Yeah, that. Let's stop there. It's supposed to be a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really been those things since the days of Zidane and Ronaldinho.
But
it's fucking shitty, man.
No, but I think this is... When you're going to watch a game...
Yeah.
Every game, even if you haven't bet money on the result...
Yeah.
Every game is a gamble for what you're going to see when you watch it.
Of course. Right?
So, basically, when you go and see a Clásico instead of Middlesbrough Hull, you're just gambling on, the risk is that you'll see a Messi wonder, a Ronaldo wonder, a Suarez wonder, Neymar wonder, whatever. It's bigger in this game than it is to see maybe, you know, Michael Dawson do an overhead kick in a 90th minute. It's just a gamble, but then it's football. You know, you would never say...
It's
Crystal,
one of those games.
You would never say Swansea Crystal Palace would be a highlight of that last weekend.
Yeah.
But if you saw that game in the end, it was a fucking roller coaster, insane. You've rolled that game 10 times.
I totally agree. But could you please remind me of the last amazing El Clásico? Could you?
I can't remember the best derby or in the
No, not the
Munich
best derby, but if I was to say, okay, could you remind me of a good United Liverpool game? You would surely do that, right? Or if I was to tell you, could you?
But that's because I watch it more as well.
Yeah, but okay. So what I'm trying to say is, for me, this game.
I like the Barcelona Real Madrid when Mourinho was manager of Real Madrid. Those were all funny. When he poked in the eye.
And it was all about Mourinho.
It was just the two teams.
Like Mourinho?
No, I think when Mourinho... I like Mourinho, especially when, you know, when he's like in another league as well. I think it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't like him per se, you know, because he's just been manager. He's been manager, but he's a Chelsea legend. I'm sorry, I can't like him.
Yeah.
But I like him because I think it's funny. And it's entertaining. But when he was at Real Madrid, those games were funny because they had even more bite than usual because it was just so much.
No, I totally agree on everything that you say about that one. Okay, but what I'm trying to say here is, if I go to see this game from my point of view, I'm thinking, okay, I know this game is.
We don't care about you.
Never listen. Okay. This game is not that tactical, but you know what? It's so much at stake. The whole world is watching. I want to see it for all obvious reasons, and also, if I don't get the tactical, maybe I get the Bundesliga feeling that, you know, it's basically, you know, five against five all the time.
You just hate the Spanish league.
No, but it's not even that. It's not entertaining. It's not technical. It's not creating a lot of chances. It's not because it's a deadlock. It's just like there's three players in each team that could create an attack. It's fucking... I hate the game. I really do. And
can't say just three players in each team who can create a chance.
Okay, tell me.
Oh, but will you have the front three in both teams?
Modric was the best player of the game.
Yeah, but they always
you
have
know
front
why?
Three. And then
Modric he was playing. He was playing as as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, but
he was amazing as a defender. Modric. But listen to this. Listen.
His best position top ten was deep lying playmaker.
Yeah. Playmaker, exactly. He wasn't making plays in this game. He was fucking defending Messi, Neymar, and Suarez.
Yeah, but that was his role this game.
And it was great. It was a tactical... That was the only tactical, you know, thing that I saw in this game. And Modric, he was everywhere because he could read three players in Barcelona. Who was the other guys playing? I don't even know their names, man. Sergi Roberto, Enrique Corqueto. I don't even know the fucks.
They've been playing all
three. Yeah, people in Barcelona, you know what? They don't even know and they don't care about these players. And it's becoming...
That's too fucking...
Never. I just want to give my...
You're gonna get hate mails from Barcelona fans now.
Like, yeah, bring him. Bring him!
I know who Sergi Guardiola...
I'm not saying Barcelona doesn't have a soul. You know, they don't have this, you know, huge culture of football.
Well, so you hate...
So I'm not saying that.
Spanish,
I'm not saying that.
You hate
but
Barcelona.
I'm not saying that Barcelona is...
Who do you prefer to win, Barcelona or Real Madrid in the league?
Real Madrid.
All right.
And I don't like Real Madrid.
Yeah, I feel a little similar.
Yeah, okay.
Similarity.
And I think everybody feels the same way. Doesn't love Barcelona.
I would like Real Madrid to win, first of all, because I think Barcelona has dominated the league more than any other team has done in that league. But then Real Madrid have won the Champions League. But then Modric and Bale plays in Real Madrid, which of course I like. And I have no trouble the way they left.
Yeah.
They didn't make, you know, a big deal out of it. And they left because... they had a deal with the chairman that they would leave if we didn't play Champions League, which they did. So it was fine. We got money, at least money, good money for Bale. So, but that's the way Atletico Madrid drop points again at Espanyol. So they're having a tough season.
They are.
They're probably still going to get Champions League, but they're not going to be up in the title race.
No.
It's probably going to be a two-horse race. And if it continues in this way in a form, Real Madrid might be able to be out of sight because Barcelona is dropping points every other weekend at the moment.
Yeah.
So... and what do you think? If they finish second and not winning Champions League, maybe Enrique is gone then? That's the way it's been in those bloody jobs.
Maybe they'll have some patience with him because he's kind of a Barcelona legend. What I'm trying to say is, I think Barcelona is facing a huge problem in, you know, in their generation change, I think. Because, you know what?
You think the big era is gone?
I think,
it's,
you know,
this dominant era they had.
I think so. I think, okay, as long as they have Messi, Neymar, Suarez, they will still be, you know, one of the best teams in Europe. Is it
fair to say that the past 10 years...
Yeah, they've been the biggest team.
The biggest team.
Yeah.
In Europe.
It's a lie to say no to
that. And the only team you can now start competing is because of the fact that Real Madrid won Champions League twice in such short space of time. You have to then add them there.
The problem with Barcelona, I think, is, you know, seeing the game, coming to the Clásico just a little bit, is as soon as they brought Iniesta on, everything changed. They could have... They went to having possession. Because up to that point... the possession in El Clasico was almost 50-50 at Camp Nou. And, you know, Barcelona, the way they want to play football still is possession football. And they're not able to do that anymore. And if you're not, if Iniesta will be gone surely in a couple of years.
I mean, we talked about Modric before. I mentioned him before, but I remember when Modric was linked away from Spurs.
Yeah.
He said that, okay, he's too good to stay here. Because we knew that he was our best player.
Yeah.
Even before, he was better than Bale when he played. Yeah. I mean, he was our best player for years. Oh. So, and then for me, I couldn't... but when he was linked from Tottenham, where should he go? I was like, the only team for Modric to go to, there's only one team that's perfect for him.
Yeah.
That's Barcelona.
Yeah.
Because for me, Xavi was getting a bit older.
Yeah.
And Iniesta, I was like, you have... Fuck Fabregas. Modric would have been the perfect fit for Barcelona. The perfect fit.
He would.
For Barcelona. But then he ended up at Real Madrid. And I was so amazed that Barca didn't go harder for Modric. Because who can play that football that Xavi and Iniesta play, especially Xavi, than Modric? There is no one who's as good as that. When you see him, he does the things... I mean, he can do the things Dembele does with strength.
Yeah.
Just by movement and technique.
Yeah.
He's so good at shielding the ball in situations. Unbelievable for small player like that. He's strong.
Yeah.
When he came to Premier League, Wenger said he's too weak to be centre midfield. A season later, he showed that he's so gritty. He can fight in midfield.
Yeah.
Not via strength, but via tenacity and timing. He's good at picking the ball.
I would say...
he's an amazing player.
I would say he's my favorite player in the world. That's my favorite footballer in the world.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you when we're going to end.
Let's do it next time.
That was actually the one I was just going to say. Who's your favorite player outside of Milan?
Yeah, I would say it's Modric.
Yeah, well, that
makes sense.
Very easy for me as well to say because he played for Spurs. Yeah. So that's easy. I think that we've had a very long first pod.
Yeah.
Without Alan Pitcher. And covered a lot of football. This is what I'm going to... We're going to have a little quiz for you later. We're going to try to... This is what I want you and I to do while Al's gone.
Yeah.
Every week, we did a little bit of this before. We were too lazy to do it. You should... For next time or this time, if you come up with something now, I want us to try and have extra focus on something. Like, okay. For instance, I'll give you, because they're Italian, I'll give you Watford.
Okay.
Watford, and then maybe, you know, I'll come up with a play as well. But
yeah,
let's just give it Watford. In 1-2 weeks, you'll have a little extra eye on Watford.
Okay, cool.
And maybe put some X, maybe if you find some in the form curve, a stat curve.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be all.
Okay.
Whenever you just know a little bit more about Watford, you give me some, and every week we'll give each other tosses.
I will give you, okay, sure.
You can give me one now if you want to. It doesn't have to be England. It does. I would prefer it to be a normal league, because when we did this before. When we did this before, yeah. I think I gave somebody a German team, and I got the strongest from Bolivia. Fun, but...
So what I'm doing, you're giving me Watford.
I'll give you Watford.
You know what I will do, right? I will go to Italy, and I will say, I want you to keep an eye, because there's one team in Italy that plays English and has English origins, and that's Genoa.
Yes.
So please tell me about Genoa.
I like Genoa, so that's all right.
Cool.
That's all right. It was a bit dodgy when they were having this transfer thingy with Milan, but that's
they still have. So
yeah, I remember Kevin Prince Boateng was bought to Genoa, then loaned out to Milan.
Yeah.
I was like, sure, that's normal. Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, we had Niang and Suso there last year.
I mean, like Aguero, he moves to Southampton. Southampton loans him to Chelsea. Yeah, I'm like, come on, it's up to. Okay, I'll take the dodgy team. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be doing another part on Thursday.
Yeah.
So look out for this Thursday. And if you have any specific question to who the fuck Kunal is, we're gonna have a section next week calling dun, 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 dun. Who is Kunal? And then you can ask any question.
Yeah.
You want to. All right. Nobody will ask.
Without that jingle, though. That jingle will not...
The jingle is imperative.
Okay, cool.
It's very important. Without it, I can change it to a more like Chopra style, but we can make that up.
Cool.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank everybody.
Thanks.
Have a good day. Don't drink pee.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.